When you successfully struggle through a problem to safe ground, who gets the credit? You? God? Or both? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson, your host for commentary and discussion, applying God's Word to issues of daily living. My guests today are Larry Waverka, Paul Dibdall, colleagues in the School of Theology at Walla Walla College. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, our topic today is struggling with all your energy, or is it all your energy? Let's go back to that question that I opened with. When you see the glimmer of when the light breaks through, maybe it's more than a glimmer, maybe it's a brilliant flash, and all of a sudden you're safe. What is the impulse of human beings? Is it God who's done it? Is it we who've done it? Some mysterious blend of the two?
Just thinking from my own personal experience, there's been times that I feel like I've unexpectedly avoided some kind of negative event. And my initial response is one of gratitude toward God, a kind of genuine praise the Lord, you know, I'm okay. But I've noticed that it does not take me very long. I seem to transition then from that attitude toward one of even self-congratulation. Thankfully I have quick reflexes, so I was able to avoid that accident. Or if I wasn't such a good driver, you know, then something bad could have happened. So that's the way it seems to work out in my life. I initially recognize, thank you, Jesus, genuinely. And then I begin to think through the ways in which I actually should get the credit for pulling myself through, so to speak.
Larry, what's your confession?
I'm not so sure it's as grand as all of that. I would say that the initial reaction is one of relief and a sense of, you know, calm that sort of comes after the storm. And I think I live with a kind of sense of the continuing presence of Jesus in my life, so that the natural response, whoever's getting credit, is to turn to him and be grateful to have survived or to have gotten through this particular thing. I don't know that I do any assessing as to who's responsible for what. I know there was one time that I went asleep at the wheel. Me go to sleep at the wheel. Yes, I do have problems beginning drowsy at the wheel. But I awakened to the wheel turning in my hand, and I could not for the life of me explain my doing that. I'll have a conversation with my guardian angel on the other side, and we'll find out just how that happened. But, you know, I mean, usually it isn't that dramatic a kind of thing. And so the gratitude in response for me is then shared. And I haven't noticed myself getting into the kind of analysis that I see important to Paul and his way of wanting to understand events.
Yeah. Oh, there's one verse that I'd like to focus on that's been important for me. 1 Corinthians 4:7. In the contemporary English version, which is a friskier version, but I rather like it, Paul says, "What is so special about you? What do you have that you are not given? And if it was given to you, how can you brag?" Now, where that came home to me was one day after I was playing racquetball with our good friend Chuck Scriven. I used to be fairly fast on my feet. Scriven has a lot of power, and we used to play with your dad, Paul. Mm-hmm. He's got a long reach. He can stand in the middle of the court and reach everything. And one day after I'd played with Chuck, he said, "Thompson," he says, "speed on your feet is like perfect pitch. Either you have it or you don't." But I know my own reaction, if I can turn on the afterburners and beat those guys, there's this delicious feeling that I really did it. But Paul says, hey, Who gave you that ability? And we find often in college students saying, well, I don't, may not be very bright, but I work hard. Fine. Who gave you the ability to work hard? See, so it doesn't make any difference where you cut it. And I think that if we can do that in a spiritual sense, that solves the problem. And maybe we all ought to follow Larry's example and just not ask the question. Just be grateful. Do everything that we can and simply praise the Lord.
I think the answer to your question, you know, who gets the credit, you, God, or both? The tendency is to say both, but I would think it would be God that ultimately would need to get the credit, as that text in Corinthians suggests. I mean, how can we brag? Because it's all been given to us.
And another passage that is in our group we're discussing this week, Colossians 1:28-29. I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice way of saying, yeah, I work hard, but guess who gave me the ability to do that? Mm-hmm. See? So if we do that, that can then solve a number of the questions. Of course, the natural tendency of human beings when we drift away from God is we tend to take the credit for the good things that happen. But now let's take a look at another question. This is John 16. Verses 5 to 15, Jesus is talking about truth there and said that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. Now, this gets into a significant tension within the Christian community. Is it my choice to respond to that? Is it a free will? Or is it God's divine power, his sovereign power, which moves me?
Oh, boy. Haven't we just established, though, that those two are difficult to separate?
Okay. Then should we encourage Calvinists who say the Lord did it, and the Wesleyan Methodists who say, I chose to do that? Shouldn't we encourage them to get together and stay together and keep quarreling? Keep from quarreling?
Keep from quarreling. Maybe continue to quarrel about it. Maybe more important than that they stop quarreling.
Yeah, at least to get the balance so that you get both sides. Yeah. So, if you have God making the whole decision, I tend to be more on the free will side of things. I'm enough of a rebel that I don't like people pushing me. I want to be able to choose. But there is a sense in which the Holy Spirit is God's gift. And he gives that to us.
Is it fair to say that really the problem does come with the extremes? Someone who, don't we have this illustrated in Scripture, people who just sit around and say, well, you know, let God do it. And then those that rush ahead where angels would fear to tread. So there's that, that kind of tendency. Maybe it's connected with personality more than spirituality even, where some people struggle with, you know, one or two of those, either of those extremes.
But at the same time, those extremes are indeed outcomes of theology. And then the next question would be, are certain personality types attracted to one theology and other personality types to another theology? But we have, interestingly, I think, divided ourselves theologically on this on this particular issue, and the debate goes on. It's true.
See, as I've watched this, I think that the more intense a person is in their religious experience, the more they will need a strong emphasis on the sovereignty of God. And maybe intensity is not the right word there, but I go back to the classic debate between Augustine and Pelagius on this issue, 400 years after Christ. Augustine made the statement in one of his prayers, Lord, perform what you command and command what you will. That was not a problem for Augustine because he was incredibly intense, see, and he was willing to let the word, but Pelagius knew that there would be people who would take advantage of that. Well, if it's up to the Lord, let's go have a party. And when the Lord gets ready, then he can touch us. But I think very intense people like Luther, like Augustine, desperately need to know that it is all God who does it so that they don't have to start and stew around as to whether there's own credit from them. No, it's God who's at work there. For other people, they need to make their own choice, and they need to know that it's, they have the freedom to do that. Now, let's go to another question. We don't have a lot of time left here. Matthew 5, cut out your own eye that offends you. Now, this is in the context of sexual purity. When it comes to purity of thought, I'll admit that's one of the most difficult areas for me to know how to manage. And I'm not just talking about sexual purity. Anything, any kind of imagery that I see with my eye stays there. My wife was walking over by the creek and saw a hawk swoop down and snatch a little duck. And her comment was, it ruined my whole day. That's all I could see. So, Larry, let's get some practical counsel from you. You're haunted by images you don't want to be haunted by. How do you get away from it? Pluck out your eye?
Yeah, that'll solve it, huh? Mm. Take your eye out, then you're...
At least you won't get any more new images. All you do is stuck with the old ones.
This is a tough one, and I do think, though, whatever might be somewhat automatic as a result of our nature still end up being a matter of choice, and how I choose to then replay or re-envision or focus or whatever, it is indeed a matter of intentionality and choice on my part. So I encourage people to do something like change the channel. You can operate the system so that you look at this, or you can change the channel and you've got a whole different set of images or things to focus your attention on. And it is true, like Wanda's experience, that there's certain things are going to come into our vision or into our life experience that we would not have chosen for ourselves. But I do think we do need to develop, like people who go through the pain of childbirth, this focal point or this focus point that you put all your energy and all your eyesight in, too. And I think at moments of trauma and so on, to use the face of Jesus, for example, is a great focus point that I can turn to at times when I am under stress, distress, temptation, whatever.
Well, choosing to focus on, I suppose some people will take a more active approach, turning to a more active image of a safer kind, others more passive, but we are very much at risk from what goes into our hearts and through our eyes, to be sure. Thank you, Larry and Paul, and thank you to John Campbell, our program engineer, for the good word. I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.